truth and give, let me say it. United my soul. That's the first one.
Is the thing working?
Yeah. Can you hear us?
I haven't tested this in a long time.
Hello? Okay, I can hear us.
Our wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Our wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. Our wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful rule, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from the wounded side which flow be a sin that double cure. Faith and love make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no rest but know? This for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. When I draw my final breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rose to worlds unknown, and behold me on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Amen and amen. If you can kneel, it is most assuredly time to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for blessing us once again with your presence. And thank you for blessing us as we go into the Word, as Brother Ace is going to share as you told him to. Thank you for giving us understanding and blessing us with opportunities to share what we learned today with others. Thank you for blessing again everybody on the prayer list, especially those that are lost, those that are sick, and those that have helped us do the work. And thank you for sending us more help, Father, because the work is spreading and many souls are going forth to proclaim this loud cry. And to the best of our ability, we once again come to you and pray in the name of your Son, who is our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. All right, let me switch the microphones here. The next voice you hear will be that of Brother Ace. Oops, hold on a second here. Oh, all right, I'll lock that in a moment. Let me get the, here we go.
Sabbath blessings, brothers and sisters. Greetings to you all, and everyone that's listening on the radio and on the phone as well. As you can see in the title, today's sermon is on the unpardonable sin. A very common question that always seems to pop up is, how do you commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? I'm sure some of you may have been asked this very same question as well, or maybe you have even wondered yourself, what is this terrible unforgivable sin? And you might have even asked yourself, have I committed it? Today we will look at what this unpardonable sin is, but first let's look at what blasphemy is. So, looking in the room here, we see at in Strong's, Greek number 988, it says, vilification, especially against God, blasphemy, evil speaking, railing. And taken from thefreedictionary.com, we see blasphemy, a contemptuous or profane act, utterance, or writing concerning God or a sacred entity. And at B, it says, the act of claiming for oneself the attributes and rights of God. So here is our Bible definition as we go to scriptures. So we're going to start this off at number one in the room, taken from John chapter 10, verses 30 to 33. And Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Again, we see the act of claiming for oneself the attributes and rights of God. So Jesus claimed to be doing many good works from his Father. But the Jews wanted to stone Jesus because of blasphemy. They could not understand Jesus and his Father being one, in unity, of course, and that they could not comprehend how a mortal man can claim such things as to be the Son of God. So this is an area where we see Jesus was claim to be a blasphemer. In Luke chapter 5, verse 20 and verse 21, it says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus told this man that his sins were forgiven, the scribes and the Pharisees reasoned together and were perplexed by Jesus now forgiving the sins of man. This they understood to be the job and attributes for God alone. So they felt Jesus is now speaking blasphemies and forgiving sins. They did not credit the works he was doing, and the power of whom Jesus said it was being done by was from above in those passages. So again, the credit went elsewhere. When God performs such wonderful acts, which only God can do, and it is evident that it comes from above, it can't suppress it. Now here below is where this unpardonable sin is mentioned, where blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. So this can be taken from Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. And that's at number 3 in the room. Wherefore, Jesus speaking, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in this world to come. Now maybe after reading those two verses, you're probably saying, how is it you can speak against Jesus and it's forgiven you, but against the Holy Ghost, it shall never be forgiven? That's kind of confusing, you might say. We'll cover that meaning as well as we continue to look at the scriptures in this subject. It's going to be revealed to us why to blaspheme the Holy Ghost there is no forgiveness. Let's look at this particular account here in Mark chapter 3. And as you'll see, it's also mentioned in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to 32. But we'll start at Mark chapter 3, 22 to verse 30. It says, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, Jesus speaking, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind up the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, but blasphemies, wherewithsoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. We'll also notice it's repeated in Matthew chapter 12, you know, as I stated above. And you also notice in verse 24 here in Matthew, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And looking at Luke's gospel, here we see it stated once again that Jesus says, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. So these are the areas where these statements are found. And you'll find it also in Matthew chapter 9, verse 34, that the Pharisees made the very same accusation that Christ went about performing these miracles through the prince of devils. They give the credit elsewhere again, right here where it says that the Pharisees said he casted out devils through the prince of the devils. And that was at number 7 in the room. So we just read three common passages above from Matthew and Mark that the Pharisees attributed the works and miracles that Jesus went about doing was by the prince of devils. You see, Jesus went about healing all those suffering souls that were oppressed in those regions. And these Pharisees witnessed firsthand those mighty miracles of Jesus. Jesus performed these miracles because of the love he had for the suffering people. The evidence they witnessed of this mighty source was no doubt of the origin from the Father of Lights. As we have just read from above, that Jesus went about spreading and sharing his love, preaching the kingdom of God was at hand. In Matthew chapter 12, 28, he stated, Jesus, the kingdom of God is come unto you. But as we know, the Pharisees' hearts were hardened, just like Pharaoh's in the Old Testament, to the Lord's power. You see, how much evidence does an individual need to see and witness to accept the great power from on high? How much evidence do we need? These Pharisees were so self-righteous in character and were so boldly set in giving the credit of the wonderful miracles that Christ was administering to all the oppressed people to be that of the work of Satan himself, and not attribute it to the power from on high. In other words, they publicly claimed Jesus was performing the miracles with the power of Satan, which is sorcery, in Mark chapter 3, 22. That is blasphemy to make that claim, giving that credit to Satan. Sadly, when Jesus did these mighty miracles for the good of humanity, and the Pharisees witnessed them, also knowing the power of the one in front of them doing these such great things was divine, they began to grieve away the Holy Spirit by rejecting the power of Christ. Remember, they, the Pharisees, witnessed some mighty works. What more must they see to believe? What more must the Lord do for an individual? When they saw such a mighty evidence through Christ and gave the credit to Satan, they rejected the power from above and committed the unforgivable sin, or the unpardonable sin. Remember, in the passage from Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, where it was stated that those that speaketh against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. It is because of this. If you come against Christ with ignorance and without the understanding of his divinity, then it may or might be forgiven you. But once you have seen the mighty works of our Lord, knowing now that it was from him, and you reject it, you have just grieved away that channel in which God uses to draw your heart into repentance, and your faith will never increase. You would have just grieved away all possible spiritual blessings. This is why the Pharisees failed. They grieved away what they were actually convicted by in their hearts at first, but then gave Satan, of all people, the credit. Jesus can forgive your ignorance for not knowing or realizing or accepting him at first. Jesus can forgive those who reject him. Remember Peter? Peter denied Jesus three times, and Jesus forgave him. Another example would be the Apostle Paul, where he said he was a blasphemer. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 13, Paul spoke of himself saying this, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Jesus forgives ignorance. Praise God for that, right? What a loving Savior we have. When Jesus was on the cross, and the people were cursing at him and mocking him. What did Jesus say, brothers and sisters? What did Jesus say? In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, at number 9 in the room, it says, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So yes, even the Son of Man, our Lord and Savior, will ask for pardon upon those living in ignorance. Our Comforter, who is with us this day, is the very channel in which God uses to draw us to Him through obedience. How can we obtain a desire unto obedience unless the Spirit of God dwells in us? Our Lord winks His eye at the hour of ignorance, but when He performs such gracious acts of grace, and you credit it to Satan, then they shall be no more sacrificed for that sin, His word says. In Hebrews chapter 10:26, for if we sin willingly after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So I pray when you read this passage in either of the accounts of the gospel, you may have a better understanding why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. The Holy Spirit is the channel in which the Lord uses to reach all humanity. Our Comforter is who convicts us of sin so we can repent. Grieve Him away and you're left without help. And you will have no power to turn from sin. None. That voice we hear daily to repent is the Holy Spirit. We can't reject nor grieve away the Holy Spirit, or else we will grieve away the channel by which we are sealed unto that glorious day of redemption. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:13. Friends, I know you have heard from many groups that they're God's channel upon the earth. How many times have we heard that? Run from them when you hear that. There's no Pope that represents the Catholic Church. No Mormons group at the Latter-day Saints. No people in the Watchtower Tract Society, known as the Jehovah's Witnesses, that is going to be able to reach your soul to create such a change in you and convict you of your sins other than our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He is our helper today. This is the channel given to us by Christ. The Holy Ghost is who is given today to us to reach the hearts of men. Time is running out on us as a people of God. Time will run out. That is something we need to take heed to. That's very important we understand that. Time is running out. Probation will close. That door of the ark in the days of Noah, it did shut close. And no one was allowed in after the Lord shut it. So will the book of life close upon all humanity. Take heed to what Jesus said. When he said in Luke chapter 17 verse 26, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, those of you listening on the radio, those of you listening on the phones, take this very serious as to what is happening to your very conscience right now. The Spirit of God is speaking to you and drawing your heart closer to Him daily as you're being convicted to repent of your old ways, of that carnal old man. You see, as in the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 3, His word reveals to us this very important message as to why we can't grieve away our Comforter. Why is it we can't grieve him away? Genesis 6:3 says, at 13 in the room, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. So his spirit will not always strive with man. Probation will close. Just as in the days of Noah, just as in Noah's day, the Lord's spirit was removed from the hearts of men, so shall it happen in the days of the Son of Man. His spirit will withdraw off the face of the earth, and those that are holy will be holy still, and those that are filthy will be filthy still. We know that from Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11. Satan will have full control of all hearts. By then it's already too late. As there is no helper to convict hearts, it's too late. Don't allow that door to shut and you become locked outside the door of the salvation of God. You're actually in control if you let Jesus take that wheel. You're closing that door yourself when you grieve away the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, Luke chapter 13, verse 25, at 14 in the room. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. You will stand without that divine oil, friends. That's where you're going to be without that. The Holy Spirit is your oil. These people, they will stand without the fruits of the Spirit because they grieved him away. Him, our Comforter. Notice what it says. When once the master of the house is risen up, take a look at number 15 in the room. At Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And they shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that is found written in the book. When our master stands up, or rises up, his people, whose names are written in the book of life, will be delivered. But those souls that refuse to repent and reject his call would have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They would have cut off that channel that God was trying to use upon them day after day after day, opening their eyes, knocking on that door, that heart. But they shut the door. They're caught outside of his salvation. They will call to our Lord, but he will not recognize them. Sadly, they will make this claim. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Abuse our Lord's long suffering, and you will be caught asleep due to living a life in darkness, which is living in sin, because you had no oil for your lamp to illuminate your path. You had no Holy Spirit. You had no fruits of it. And unfortunately, his wrath will be poured out without mixture. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31. Our living God has prepared a place for the devil and his angel. It is a period of everlasting fire and punishment where they will cease to be no more, the devil and his angels. Our Lord gives us a choice, a free choice, if we want to join them. we can join them. By living out a life in sin. We have to repent. The Holy Spirit's going to convict us to repent. If we do join them, it will be due to grieving away His Spirit. At number 18, at number 19, Jesus says these two things. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but to the righteous into life eternal. And then Matthew 25, 41, Jesus also says, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? For the devil and his angels. Brothers and sisters, repent now while you still have the power from above guiding you and helping you. The Holy Spirit is our guide. So yes, not even in the world to come, as we just saw, not even in the world to come, as Matthew 12:32 says, will your sins against the Holy Spirit be forgiven you. We are a day closer to our Lord's coming. The agent of the Holy Spirit is what convicts us and draws us to living a life in conformity to His truth. No other entity, friends, regardless of how much they want to boast that they are God's channel upon this earth. That is blasphemy when you hear that. We have been given a guide and comforter. There are just so much false doctrines out there. I know we've all come among them. Who will guide us in His truth? The Holy Spirit will guide you and I. You have to believe that. Where's your faith? At number 20, John 16:13 says, howbeit when He, notice it says He, the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. That's who will. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So amen. Seek Him early in your lives. Why delay when you know probation is closing? Come on, brothers and sisters. We know probation is closing. For some of us, it could be closed in days, in months, in years. We never know when our time is up. But there will be a closing of probation upon the entire earth. I'm sure it is quite possible that the signs you're seeing today be speaking to your heart, that we may very well be that last generation. Those signs that was foretold in His Word that you are seeing today is witnessing to your hearts. Have you not seen lately that the hearts of the people in this world today are waxed ever so cold? I mean, it's been terrible lately. The signs being revealed to you daily and cutting your heart is the work of the Holy Spirit. Every time you hear His truth through sermons that we are nearing the end, that the end is near, or that we need to get back to a better diet, that our bodies have been bought with a price, or that we need to come into a certain character as we reflect the characters of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is the Holy Spirit drawing you to truth. If you hear a sermon that we are to turn the other cheek and be loving in loving thy neighbor, and that we are to love thy enemies, this is His Spirit revealing it to you, to do no violence to no man. If you're being convicted by that, that's the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve away what is convicting you, as the Pharisees did back then. Repent now while you still have a helper before he is withdrawn. Seek him now. At number 21 in the room, Isaiah 55 verses 6 and 7, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will be abundantly pardoned. Amen. Don't grieve away that call you're hearing today. It is his Spirit that draws the heart of each and every one of us to him as we repent and turn from sin. Jesus said this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. That's what John 16, verses 7 and 8. So the truth is this. The part of the Godhead that convicts us of our sins, no matter where we are, no matter who we are, where we are in this world, it is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it was important that he goes to the Father. Important now. That he goes to the Father as he has become a mediator for us all. But we would not be alone. He, Jesus, would send the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. We need to be convicted to know that we must be reborn in his Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and cause sinners to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In your heart. At number 23, Jesus says this in John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The invitation of his grace and mercy is being given right now. Brothers and sisters, everything we have, every talent we have, it's been given to us by our Heavenly Father. His Spirit to reveal that to you. Yet, there will be those who will never accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as a personal Savior. And they will remove themselves from all and every opportunity of everlasting life. Rejecting Christ will cut you off from the channel that God uses to bestow the blessing of accepting salvation. All manner of sins can be forgiven, friends. But shun that invitation he pours to your soul, and then you'll have commit that sin against the Holy Spirit that shall never be forgiven you. Think about that. The Jewish nation who rejected the invitation Christ was pouring out to their hearts committed the unpardonable sin in attributing the wonderful works of Christ to be of Satan himself. We too need to be very careful today as not to do the same as they did, by refusing to repent from our sin and turning a blind eye from his truths that once witnessed to your very hearts. Don't turn away from the truth. To turn away from the truth is to shut that door. To sin against the Holy Spirit is not restricted to that generation of the Jewish nation. It's not. We too can commit the unforgivable sin. once we know certain blessings are from God, but later on refuse the blessing because of falling snare to self or desiring the lust of the flesh, we too will become like the Pharisees of old and grieve away the Holy Spirit. Pray, brothers and sisters. Pray, Lord, don't take thy spirit away from me. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 7, and number 24. It says, for it is impossible, notice it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, notice, once enlightened, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted, E.B., the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, that's over and over, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, that's the Holy Spirit, that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Amen. That rain in your heart is the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, pray for that latter rain, because at the close of earth's harvest, your characters will need to be ripe. The harvest can't take place unless you absorb that rain to where you will be blessed in being ready and prepared for his coming. Prepare to meet thy God. So unless you accept the early rain in your life, in your heart, how can your character reach a state to blossom so that the latter rain can bring the final blessing to perfection? Pray, brothers and sisters, for the abundance of rain in your life. The good news is this. We have help. We are not alone. Christ said that. We are given a helper when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now bring on the Holy Spirit. In striving into obedience to his perfect law, we will be showered with the fruits of the Spirit. We know to call these fruits showers of blessings. So as I close off this sermon, I would just like to remind you all to pray daily in faith without ceasing for this blessing, because God has promised us in his word this. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. That's from Zechariah 10:1. Be that ready green blade, willing to accept and do as the Lord has commanded. Ask of the Lord, and you shall receive showers, capital S, of blessings. Brothers and sisters, God bless you.
Amen. I don't know if the audio was starting over again. I just shut it off out here. But what was I saying? But amen. Showers of blessings.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy has found us a falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come now and honor your word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from the sky falling, but for the showers we plead.
Okay, amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to end in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for once again changing the showbread on Sabbath day. Thank you for teaching your people the truth as it needs to be known so that they can be blessed and go forth and bring more souls into the truth. Thank you for giving us those opportunities as well. And for all those on our prayer list, Father, we pray that they're all healed and blessed and given the opportunities that they need, as many as possible, so that they can find your Son as Savior and join and be as one with the bride. And Father, we also lift up all those that are doing the work and those that help us do the work. And we pray that you send more helpers because the work is spreading and we need to get it out there. As your prophecy says, we will. So thank you for blessing us in every way possible to do that work that you have called us to do. And again, thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, blessing us with the latter rain, giving us all that we need to go forth and to glorify you like no other in the history of mankind. And thank you again for blessing us with your Son, the salvation, the love that you displayed on Calvary. And it is in his name, to the best of our ability, that we lift up all our prayers. It is in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King that we pray. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.